Hello? Hello? Is there anybody here? Hey! Hey! Is anybody here?
How's your week? But yeah,
I've survived so far.
You survived?
I've survived. My house is clean.
Okay. You didn't have one holiday spectacular already?
What do you mean by we went over to my parents' house.
So you had Christmas with your mom and dad?
Yeah, because they are flying to Quebec to spend time with my mom's parents.
Okay. Are they short too?
No, they're actually quite tall.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
My mom is she's the tiniest person.
You don't want to say the runt of the family.
She's definitely the runt of the family. Okay. Like 4'6". And then like her sister is 5'9". Like her and I are about the same height. And then my mamama is maybe just a little bit taller. And then Papa is about the height of my husband.
Is that a French thing?
I think it is a French thing.
Did you say that?
Yeah. Mamama. They actually, my mom was born in Switzerland, Basel, Switzerland, and then came over to Canada.
Oh, okay. You're messing things up now. So she's like Swiss.
No.
Born.
Well, you have to stay there for a certain amount of time, and then you get your Swiss citizenship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so she's born Quebec.
No.
She was born
in Switzerland.
Okay.
They have a whole different system for other things. My papa, was born in Germany, and then my mamama was born in France, and then they immigrated to Canada.
Well, there's so that's your great grandparents.
Yes. Yeah.
So you know,
they are my grandparents.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you call your grandparents mamama.
Mamama and papa.
Okay. Yeah. I know. Actually, now that you said that, because Logan was talking, messaging me, asking me about how long was I in New Brunswick? What did I do there? Where I was born and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I realized, well, we called ours Grammy and Grampy.
Yeah.
Which is. I've never heard anybody else say that.
So. I've heard it. Not very common, but I know very few people. Actually, I don't know anyone who calls their grandparents mamama and papa.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a European thing.
I think in storybooks.
Okay, I think it's a European thing, like in that area of France or.
But it's not a Quebec thing.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it'd be like grand-mère, grand-père.
Okay. Anything eventful? Anything? What's been your stress? Any triggering this week?
Oh,
I've had
triggering.
Some triggers.
Oh man. To be completely honest, that one comment that we got on the Rama thing.
Yeah.
That was very triggering for me. Not.
I struggled on that one too.
I struggled because I'm learning. I spent a lot of like my high school learning from textbooks, and none of the textbooks had anything relevant about what was going on in Palestine.
The Palestine and the camps. And
so like I didn't know, and I still don't know, and I'm learning.
Yeah.
But at the same time, one thing that I am struggling with is finding reliable resources.
That's an issue today.
Yeah. So, I'm learning. And what I love about Rama is that I can ask her these questions and she'll answer them and not make me feel like an idiot. I genuinely don't know
that.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, and that's the thing. Like we didn't invite Rama on the show because she's Palestinian. We invited her on the show because she's a young woman in a different country and she's experiencing new life and she has a different perspective on life.
And I think it's just very interesting to talk to her.
Absolutely.
And I feel like I can ask her questions.
Yeah.
And she'll answer them to the best of her ability. And then I leave feeling like, yeah, I learned something.
But the Palestinian thing is it very interesting after. It's like, you know, if I had invited her on here specifically to sit and talk about the history of Palestine and all that stuff, I would have Googled it myself.
Yeah.
And I would have researched that. Now, you know, growing up, going through school in the 70s and the 80s, I knew the Palestinian and Israeli thing's been going on for hundreds of years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I knew of it.
Yeah.
And to say 1948 in the camps, I mean, this is not something that you know, they don't specifically teach it in school.
No.
They glaze over it, I'm sure.
Yeah, like I remember her talking about the, oh, shoot, now I forget the name. The Belford.
The Belford. The
Act.
I want to say the Belford Accords, but yeah, it's not.
Yeah, it's the Belford thing. Like I remember reading one sentence about it, okay. And that was it. That was all that was in my textbook. And then also, like growing up, it's like we don't talk about politics. We don't need to worry about that kind of thing. And it's like, okay, so I won't.
See, I'm not also
something I'll think about.
I'm curious. Can't remember whether she wrote it on YouTube or not, because on YouTube one, everything that Rama mentioned, I Googled.
Yeah.
And then I put it up there about the camps and why they were going there from the perspective of the information I collected on the internet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, it was just like I felt like it was maybe a little uncalled for, but I think she might have been, whoever is, might have been misinterpreted. Like, we're not a talk show in the sense that we're bringing people on to talk about Palestine.
Yeah.
We're just looking for interesting people. Now, Palestine came up. I knew she was Palestinian and she's Muslim, but I didn't know that was going to be a major factor.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, snippets and little bits. And I'm certainly not going to talk about Palestine or what it's like to be Muslim.
Yeah.
Because I have no right to say that. I could Google it and give you whatever Google sends in my brain.
Yeah.
But that's not fair.
No, so, and it's not like I feel like I can't rightfully have a very good opinion or like a very valid opinion about anything going on in Palestine or Syria. Like I don't know the information. I don't have enough information and I'm learning.
Mm.
That's all I can say.
Rama's two steps away. Her parents, and that was her grandparents that she talked about in the camps in 1948. And so it's the story she heard from her parents. I guess, you know, I got over that because it's like that, you know what? They don't know what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, if I know someone's coming on like that, I'll totally research and I'll play. Like there's a few episodes that I want to do because now that I know Rama, she's Muslim.
Yeah.
I know Sarah. You know Sarah.
Oh, I know Sarah.
You know, she's Christian and whoo, she's like been right on this. Well, it's Christmas, I guess that's the Christian thing to do. And you're Christian or Catholic?
Catholic.
Catholic. And I'm agnostic or atheist for the sake of argument. And I'd like to have a discussion because I think that's a fascinating thing to
it
talk
is
about religion.
Fascinating.
Because we talked about the opening of our last one. They talked. What's her name? Britt. I can't remember her last name at the moment, but it was there. And she talked about the Christmas break in 1914
mm-hmm.
during World War I. And it's a fascinating story. And if you'd listened to her or the Dan McClellan off of TikTok, I mean, they both come from faith and a different perspective. And I love the fact that they want to keep it in check.
Yeah.
You know, those who want to weaponize it because right now, with all the what's going on in the States, they're dragging the Bible and the religion into politics. Danielle Smith and Polyevra, they're trying to drag into religion into politics. And it's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, and just like Rama said, religion is a tool.
Yeah. And I'd like to throw my phone at some of those tools. And if you watch the Rama, you get it.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, no, like that kind of put me into like a little bit of a spiral of self-doubt and just like, I know nothing. I'm not learning anything. How on earth am I doing a podcast? I don't know anything. And then I was kind of sitting there and it's like, I know a lot. Whether it's like relevant information to various different conversations, but I also have the willingness to learn, and that's what's important.
I think that's a key factor in what I'm doing too, like mm-hmm. what we're doing here. For me, as much as it is mental health and all everything else we want to talk about in our art, but this makes me listen to people better,
mm-hmm.
and then it makes me learn, and then people will say stuff. So Rama's episode, I went down that 1948 path, and I read some interesting things about Palestine and Syria and all that. So I'm learning too.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that anybody else, like I say, I have no problem saying something wrong or stupid in that sense, because when I'm editing these, I get to go, okay, well, that was a dumb thing to say. I was completely wrong, but
here's a little bubble that says,
yeah, there's
I was wrong.
A little bubble.
Sorry.
Mike's talking out of his ass again, you know, and that sort of thing. So, and I think that's, it's a thing for education for me too.
Yeah.
And I get to learn a little bit about Palestine and I got to learn a little bit about drinking and driving in a previous podcast, and we're going to hopefully find a lot more interesting people to combine.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot more with Rama and other things that we want to do.
Yeah. But yeah, like growing up, we didn't talk about politics and we didn't talk about religion. And so like I never learned more about politics, and I never learned about various different religions. I know like the very basics.
Yeah.
But as I'm growing and learning, it's like, oh, that is very interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah. I heard somewhere, and it's the same thing. Growing up, kids should be seen and not heard, and blah blah blah, bullshit like that.
Yeah.
And then you're told not to talk about sex, politics, or religion.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody, and I really liked what they say, we should start talking about that, but we need to teach children how to talk about it intelligently and ask questions about these things rather than don't talk about politics, it's inappropriate, or don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Because we've lost the art of conversation, of intelligent
Absolutely.
Thought, of critical thinking.
Absolutely. And this is something I'm teaching my kids, and hopefully they're learning something, but it's like, feel free to ask a question. I may not be able to answer the question right away, but we can look into it together.
Yeah.
So ask the question. But then it gets to the point where like my oldest is literally asking ridiculous questions.
Oh, she's a spiteful little thing that just wants to annoy you.
Yeah. She's like, I'll say something and it's like, well, what does that mean? and then I'll explain it, and then she'll literally ask the exact same question in a different way.
Well,
and like, I was like, okay, did you not understand what I said? Can, like, what did I say? And then she'll literally repeat it back in her own words. And I was like, did you understand it? She's like, oh yeah, I just wanted to hear you say it again.
Okay.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic.
But thank you.
I remember who it was. I was having a discussion. How many times can somebody say why on one topic before you end up at a dead end? You know what I mean? Like, you say something, well, why? Well, because of this. Well, why? Well, because when you do that, this happened. Why? And then, because that's what everybody wants, the superficial, you know, thing. But if you can keep asking why and there's more to understand,
yep.
Then there's more to know.
This is why having conversations with toddlers is the best.
Ah, okay.
Like 2-year-olds, all they want to know is why. Why do I have to put my socks on?
Because your feet will get cold.
But why?
Because the air temperature will make your feet cold, and your feet cold will make your body cold, and you'll be uncomfortable.
But why?
Because being uncomfortable is not fun, and we want you to be happy.
Why?
Because when you're happy, then I'm happy, and then I do wonderful things for you.
But why?
and now kids is a little different, so they'll say why just because.
Well, and but like, yeah, it's like, why do I have to wear socks and shoes? Why do I have to leave the house with pants on? Like,
it's a dicey thing with do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. Well, that I do as I. Do as we talk about it, and do as whatever. And I mean, this came up to me too, because the internet is such a terrible thing. Because I got triggered on the same thing, right? Yeah. So we know James Gunn's Superman is coming out next year, and they just released the trailer, right?
Well, I haven't watched the trailer yet. Don't spoil it for me.
Okay, so without spoilers, I'm not a fan of the aesthetics of the suit and the costumes.
Okay.
Okay, I don't like it, but I've said several times that I'm willing to wait and see. We'll see the movie.
Yeah.
Whatever the trailer does for you, it's a trailer. We've seen trailers in the past that absolutely tell the entire story and have every great moment in the thing, and that's it. So it's just like, you can't take a trailer. But then I say, well, I don't like the aesthetics. Well, you don't know anything about costuming or storytelling. And then it's just
like... But you can still have an opinion on what you think Superman should look like.
Well, absolutely. And then everybody goes through this arc. It's just like, I can't say, I don't... everybody attributes their version of whatever. And in this case, we'll use Superman. Everybody compares it to Christopher Reeves. Christopher Reeve.
Yep.
Christopher Reeve was perfect for 1978.
Yeah.
1980, and then his movies fell off terribly. Everybody that knows 3, 4, and whatever, just, you know. But they were designed for 1970, 1980. They're designed for 2020, 2025.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill.
Oh, love him so
much. I love them too, and everybody gets upset because they can't mention Cavill without insulting Snyder. The Snyder cut, the Snyderverse, Snyder's a piece of shit. Snyder doesn't know Superman. And I'm going, well, Snyder took a variation. Everybody wants Christopher Reeve Superman.
Yeah. Back. That's just like the Star Trek movies. You know, the old Star Trek movies.
Yes.
And then they did the new Star Trek movies.
With Pine.
Absolutely loved them.
Me too. I thought they were great.
My husband refused to go see them. He's like, they are not Star Trek. They will never be Star Trek. And I was like, dude, like, come on. It's a totally different universe. Something happened, and they explain it, and it's completely different storyline. They have similar characters, but it's a different storyline. So you have to take it as a different storyline.
Yeah. I mean,
and like, absolutely, you can try and compare them. But they're going to be different.
I did an eye roll somewhere along the lines in the first one. And then I loved it. Like, it's just like, okay, that makes sense. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then now that opens up the world. They can tell any new story they want because they changed the timeline.
Yes!
And you know, and you go back and you got the Kirk and you got the Picard. You got, you know, yeah. I mean, I love Star Trek. Yeah. I mean, that's probably the new Star Trek is still dear to my heart much more than any new redo, remake.
Yeah, like, I thought it was done so well, and I thought the actors they chose were just really well done.
Embodied the essence without doing an impersonation.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I totally agree. And you know, and there was a lot of people that did the same thing. So, and whether it be with Superman, whether it be this, and I get, you know, if you're a critic or you're a professional critic, it's just like, and it's, sometimes it's nice to say, you know, I don't care for Guardians of the Galaxy. It just didn't hit with me. I don't like this and I don't like that. And be done with it. But everybody has to drag on. We got the Snyder fans that won't let go.
Yeah.
We got the Marvel fans who hate the Snyder fans, and they want the DC to be like Marvel. And it's just like nobody can comprehend this idea that if you don't like it, don't watch it.
Yeah, just...
You don't have to comment on it every time.
Yeah.
And I was guilty, too. Star Wars hurt me, like, big time for a few years. And I was, like... triggered every time somebody, and even occasionally now, somebody will say something, and it's just like, it only works because the author wrote it that way. And your comment that it's obvious that he turned out the way he did because it was not obvious. The author wrote it that way.
Yep.
He chose to pick these attributes of that character. It didn't work for me, and half of the other fan base, half of the rest of my fan base, and it worked for you, and it worked for a bunch. So I try not to jump into it, but I'd love to have the open, and this is where we'd say we've lost that art of argument or not discussion.
Or listening. We've lost the art of listening. So you can talk as much as you want. And you can say that you're listening as much as you want, but if you're not comprehending or appreciating what that person is saying, then it's not active listening.
Are you listening to respond, or are you listening to understand?
Yeah.
You know, and if you have this preconceived set, I am down set on here, you have to challenge what you're convinced that you believe is right so that you can openly go... You know, I figure out, okay, well, no, it's got to be right. From my perspective, I have to, you know, and it's tough because it's, you know, I'm going there and you don't understand my perspective, and, well, you're an idiot. What do you mean? I always try to, you know, the keyboard warriors, I'll respond, I'll go with a little bit of dialogue, and then all of a sudden... I guess you just don't understand my perspective. Cheers. Have a nice day. Good luck.
Yep.
Whatever. And then they always come back with a, fuck you, you're an idiot, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, then you got to shut it down and walk.
Yeah.
So,
if someone really doesn't want to listen, they will not listen.
But it's so important to me. I would love for you to convince me, at least make me totally understand your side. Like for in the Star Wars things, I get why people like it.
Yeah.
I get why people liked what they did. It doesn't make sense to me, and if we look at my psychology of what I think, it doesn't work, but I understand why you liked what you did.
Yeah.
I understand why that worked for you. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing. So,
I don't love Star Wars. I appreciate Star Wars. I just have a lot of family members that are like, Star Wars is the best. I was like, cool. I'm glad you love that. That makes you happy. I know what to buy you for Christmas.
Oh, it had so much potential. I'll wind out this second. If they would have taken the original aspects of the original Star Wars and ended it in that tone, we would have been much happier accepting the new tone because it's a different era.
Yeah.
You know, if Luke and Han and Leia finished their arc in a way that fit with the original tones and stuff, that would have been great. We would have been much more accepting to the new characters of the Rays and the Finns. And I love Rey. I just think she's just poorly written.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
So. I know nothing about writing, but I agree with that. Yeah. Well, I feel like her storyline could have been a lot better.
And I love it. And I wanted her to be better. Let's have a female protagonist, and let's and they could have done so well, and I don't know.
She fell a little flat for me, but that's okay. I know lots of people who absolutely love. My son thinks Rey is like the absolute coolest person ever. He's happy. I'm happy.
Anyway.
Yeah. Other than that, I have been very good.
Yeah. Those are my triggers. I'm always triggered. How do I stop being triggered? How do I? Oh man, what is this?
Therapy.
How do I stop caring? How do I? Because I sit and I dwell on stuff, and how do you shut it down?
For me personally, I have to mentally put things into, like, this is a today problem box. And it's like, hey, today I'm going to deal with managing the emotions of 4 children and myself. That is a today problem. Tomorrow or later on today, I'm going to deal with my crisis of not knowing things. I will deal with that when I'm by myself. Or it's like, if you're my dad, one time phoned me up and he's worried about doors. And I was, because they're getting new doors put into their house, and he's like, I don't know what kind of door I want. I don't, like, I just like, oh, there's all these options and all this and that. And I was like, how soon do you have to make these decisions? He's like, oh, like in 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, this sounds like a week from now problem.
I know, but you want to solve your problem now so you can put that out of your mind.
Yeah, but then also he was like, I got to deal with, I got to deal with X, Y, Z, and I always have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. And I was like, Dad, it's like, what's important right now? And he's like, well, I got to figure out what I'm eating for supper. And I was like, hey,
let's pull up your fly.
Let's do that. Now what's next? Oh, I got to make a doctor's appointment. Yeah, you should probably phone so that you like phone like right now. Get off the phone right now so you can phone so you can get in at a certain time.
I know I've heard that times about prioritize everything. Do what The Martian. You remember The Martian, the movie Martian?
I love that movie. Have you read the book?
Favorite movie. No. Oh,
I highly recommend reading the book.
The thing that he says at the end, he says, the first thing you do is the first thing you need to do. You got to start.
Yeah.
That is the most important thing. You start and then you do the next thing. Yeah. And then you do the next thing.
Yeah. Me personally, I have just been making lists of like the things that are on my mind. Point form doesn't have to be like a big sentence or anything, but like.
Kathy's always telling me to do that. And it's just,
it works.
Okay. I need to.
I made my husband do it. It doesn't even have to be words. It can be like a picture.
So I hear all these people about the wonders of ADHD. I can do 10 things all at the same time.
Oh, I cannot.
I can be focused. Oh, shiny. Oh, shiny. Oh, that. And that's where I'm at. And it's just like, I'll be angry at somebody for 3 days because of what they did. Or said, or what they might do, or might have said. I've created that in my mind in some cases. but that's a real not thing. Healthy. That's a real anxiety thing.
Yeah.
But it's that distraction onto the next thing.
Yeah.
But then there's a trigger back to it, and usually the time does. Jeff, suck you, buddy.
Love you, Jeff.
Very few people have pissed me off as heavily as him. But within a few days, it's just like, okay, well, let's talk this through.
Yeah.
And we've had our talk-throughs, but it's just like, I just get so freaking upset. And I just don't know how to put it away, right? And then you put away, and then you go on, okay, I'm going to doom scroll for a while.
Yeah.
And somebody will say something stupid. because these dumb people out there and fucking politics right now is hurting me. Because I'm trying not to, and I got some very dear friends that I really like, and they share the polar opposite.
Yeah.
Of politics, and I try not to engage with my friends that, okay, if you're conservative, you're conservative, I'm not, you know, but then they will continually post rhetoric that is just so mindless, and it doesn't help your situation.
No.
And sometimes I'll enter into a few discussions and try and lightly and whatever.
Yeah.
But
so my advice to you, unfollow those friends.
That's what I have
done.
You see my post?
I did see your post. I was like, is this about me?
No.
No, it's not. I post really silly things about otters and
I made it very clear that if I unfollow you, that doesn't mean I'm unfriending you.
Yeah, no, just like people use the internet to express their opinions, and that's great. If those opinions are triggering to you, unfollow, move on with life. Like, there's so many more things for you to worry about and to focus on than some of the stuff that's just on the internet. And some people go out of their way to cause fights on the internet.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I could sit down and have an engaging conversation with anybody about why Polyev is going to be bad or good, or why Trudeau is not as bad as they say, or he's whatever, and all that stuff. But everybody, and I would like that. But there's people out there that like to live in sarcasm.
Yes,
and that's their idea of argumenting. Is that a real word?
Arguing?
That's their idea of argue. It's just like, well, he's done this and that. Well, I mean, he hates little children. Why? Well, because when 10 years ago he took away money from the orphan fund or whatever for the national, whatever. What the hell does that have? You know, and it's just, and that's
our thing. I talk politics with very few people.
Yeah. But I want to. Like, I would like to understand. I would like to know why they feel. I would like to. And here's one that'll be nice. I would like to know why people believe and love Trump. I would like to understand that. Now, there's the people that think that he's the orange god of whatever.
Yeah.
And he does no wrong. Then there's those that believe that, well, he's better than whatever. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know what it is, you know, that makes people feel that way. And that, I don't mean that specifically.
Yeah, I have no opinion on the American politics.
Yeah.
I am thoroughly confused by it. I haven't done enough research. And I'm very proud to say that. I don't know.
I wish I didn't care.
I am focusing on other things in my life.
Well, let's focus on something else for a while. This was my mental health, and this is something I'll always struggle with forever and ever.
I just I find myself like, I don't need to worry about that, and I am not going to at this moment in my life, and I'm going to focus on my kids and their joy and the Christmas joy of this season. And that is what I'm focusing on right now.
Hey, heat up, meters! Yeah! Yeah! Heat up, meters! Whoa! Whoa!